This is Shannon Young from Podzilla 1985, and you know, there's been a lot of talk in the media about transgenders causing a fuss about which bathrooms they should use, and out-of-touch geriatric tire pimps, like conservative Chuck from Jackson Tire Center in Jackson, Missouri, have become the answer to a question that no one ever asked them. It occurred to us that maybe we should take a moment to state that at the PZ85 offices, we don't discriminate against anyone about which bathroom they can use, because we don't have bathrooms. We don't have an office. But if we did have bathrooms, we'd let transgender people use whichever bathroom they want. Because they're bathrooms, not diddle cubes. And if anyone is at danger of getting diddled in a bathroom, it isn't because of a transgendered person. It's more than likely a morally righteous right-wing conservative staring at you through the little crack in the wall that seems like it was designed for the closet pervert to get his rocks off. Not people like outstanding citizen and local favorite Chuck, who I'm sure has never had an unnatural thought about another man checking the fluid levels of his penis in the diddle cube, but real sickos. Lastly, let's all take a moment to thank God that people who discriminate against others for no reason other than their own hubris and ignorance will die someday. Thank you, and live from Broadway, it's Podzilla 1985!
Life's not making sense, I wanna get in trouble.
From the heart of Broadway, here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where we no longer have the support of Jackson Tire Center, it's Podzilla 1985's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man with me, your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100, back at you on this lovely Tuesday evening in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Down at the end of the table, we got my partner in crime, Asa Gray, the Five Star Man.
That's me.
Five.
Five.
Five?
Five.
Five. Is that good?
Five.
All right. And next to him, the lovely Allie Abair.
Hello.
Who's going to be doing significantly more talking on this show than she does normally.
Most likely, yes.
And they say that Podzilla 1985 isn't progressive. Look at us go. Kids, we got a huge show for you today. It's going to be quite a treat. If you've been wishing for us to harken back to the olden days, where we would just talk about things that make us angry and yell a lot and cuss, you're in for a humdinger today. Because we got this idea last week. We're running with it. We're going to talk about the things we hate the most in existence right now and the things that make us really, really happy to try to give you an uplifting end to the show. I don't remember what sparked this idea. It was last week. It may have been after Raw. I think it was after Raw because we were talking about how much we hated Raw and Vince McMahon.
I think it was before that because you sent me a message. I was at work.
Was that Raw? Was that Monday morning?
Yeah,
maybe.
It was sometime Monday, just kind of like, hey, what if we did a thing of the top people that we hate?
And I don't remember why now. Something happened that made me feel that way, and I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't matter. It's an excuse for us to get really mad about stuff and maybe, you know, do something nice at the end and make you like humanity again. Now, if you heard that intro there and you're still listening, thank you. If you're wondering why we did that, I heard a commercial on a radio station today. I won't say what it is for reasons. From this gentleman from the Jackson Tire Center who felt the need that in his 1 minute commercial, 45 seconds of that commercial for Tire Center, by the way, is dedicated to transgender staying out of man's got a man plumbing, woman's got woman's plumbing. Thank God for Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera. And so ridiculous. So ridiculous. One, that you would spend all that advertising money to push your political agenda. And two, that you would have a political agenda about transgender bathrooms when you're a fucking tire service. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's infuriating. And I wanted to put that sumbitch on my list, but I didn't want to put him on the list just for something he said that annoyed me. I'm sure there are worse things out there than some old man with an opinion. There's a billion of them. This one's just really bad and wrong. And, you know, maybe he'll have a stroke and we won't have to hear him on the radio anymore. I don't know.
Maybe.
Pray for miracles. All right, so here's how we're going to do this tonight. First off, Asa, how you doing?
Doing all right.
You doing good?
Yeah.
We didn't watch Raw last night.
No. You started. And then I played Overwatch.
And then I played Overwatch, and then I left. No, I didn't play it after that. We just left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Rage Against the Machine came in, and started. I saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, and I left almost immediately after they started playing.
Wow. Overwatch will make you very angry, but not to the levels that this young man gets angry. You won't believe what happened when this young hothead sat down and fought Winston.
You won't believe what controller gets thrown.
All right, enough. That's the prerequisite amount of small talk.
small talk sequence. Actually, I don't
know. Here's how the show's going to work. We're going to go over our five most hated. Damn it.
Why did we pick five?
Yeah, well, I said 10 originally.
And yeah, I don't know who chopped it down to five.
Yeah, and then five.
Actually,
then
I think you chopped it down to five.
I don't even think I did that. I think because you actually did. Do we want to do 10 that we hate, or do we want to do, because it was your idea to do the five
that we hate. Yeah.
Just to keep us from going home and
there was part of me that wasn't
driving off the bridge.
I wasn't even going to write out my list, honestly, because I know how these list shows work. I do it with Tanner all the time. You know, me and Tanner, we love to do list shows on Tanner Thursday. And one of the problems is that by the time everyone else gets done with their list, it's like 5 minutes till show's over. And then they look at me and I go, all right, let me get through my list really, really quickly. And I was like, I'm just not going to do it this time. I'm sure Asa has more than enough ammunition to tear apart a 30, 40 minute show about the people he hates.
I was hoping mine would be more of a discussion, because I don't want to just, because with this, it feels like it's just one of us yelling about another thing, about something. And I know that's way out of character for anyone who listens to the Mr. 100 Five Star Man Show. Me getting animated and angry about something is unusual.
Yeah.
But so this way, it's not just me ranting about something. We can all rant together.
I'm down with that. I like to rant.
Or like discuss, or like, hey, I actually don't agree with yours. Or
I don't think that's going to happen. It's kind of upsetting because I was talking to Bob the other day and he heard part of the Nerd Up that we did where you and I disagreed on Overwatch versus Battleborn and Doom. And
we almost turned that into what tonight was.
We did. But Bob said it's nice to hear us argue once in a while because, you know, if it's always a circle jerk, that can get old.
That's kind of what Jesse said too. Yeah. At the end of the show, is it's good to have differing points of view.
It is. But we do agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think that you and I think very similarly. Mm-hmm. And I think that this show might be more, cohesive, and it might be we're on the same page more so than against each other. But let's see how it happens.
It also might just be like we know how to ask a question that really just kind of triggered.
Oh, triggered somebody?
Yeah.
We also asked for your feedback, which we've got here. We're going to read that out at the end of the show and, say what you guys are thinking. We got a lot of responses to this on Facebook and we appreciate that quite a bit. So, let's get to it. Hunter just sent something and it looks very, very funny and offensive. So I'm not going to read it yet. Or actually, he put Zach's name on it. So maybe Zach Price said something stupid. Also out of character. Also out of character. Asa, let's get the ball rolling. You got your five of people that you or entities that you hate.
Yes.
And we're going to start with you. Go ahead.
All right. My first one is, Vince McMahon. And this is one I don't necessarily want to spend a whole lot of time with because I feel like I spoke my piece on Pro Wrestling Unscripted last week. More than likely, we'll do again tomorrow, for that one. But the reason that Vince McMahon, the entity, is on my list is I'll preface this with saying that no one can ever doubt or question what he did for professional wrestling.
Right.
Bringing it into the mainstream, despite maybe some of the tactics he used to kind of bring an end to the territories. And bringing that all under one roof.
Right.
He
was revolutionary.
There would be no I don't think that pro wrestling would be, there's no question it wouldn't be as big, but it may not even still be around.
Right.
If it wasn't for Vince McMahon. That being said, the man himself is an egotistical, unapologetic.
Hold on. Before you finish that sentence, I also want to warn, you heard me curse earlier.
Yeah.
This show is not safe for work.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just throw that out there right now. Because I don't think the only person who's probably going to end up not cussing tonight is Allie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only because she's a good person.
Yeah.
So with that said, kids, if you got sensitive ears,
turn back now.
Go back to PZ85 Sports with Cody. He's professional. We're not.
He really is.
He sounds so good. Oh, my God. All right. Now. Please finish your sentence.
Egotistical, unapologetic, just douchebag.
Yeah.
He has his mindset of who he wants to be successful in this business that he has created. And anyone else who dares to try to be successful on their own is punished. And it's just baffling to me that how it actively sabotages these other people. That just because they had the gall, you know, the big talk is always, well, they, you know, they go for the brass ring.
Yeah.
You reach for that brass ring, you show that initiative, it gets rewarded. Bullshit. Absolutely not. You have to have express written permission to grab for that brass ring.
It really is one of those things that it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
That's the only reason Roman Reigns is pushed so hard, whereas a guy like Dean Ambrose is...
Or Zack Ryder.
Don't even start on Zack Ryder. I wasn't even going to mention him.
Yeah, but that's the thing is it's, and the reason,
hypocrisy is strong.
And the reason that I hate Vince McMahon so much is because CM Punk was right. Like, he's a millionaire who should be a billionaire.
Right.
You know, if he actually did what he says he does and listens to the crowd reactions and the fans, it would be a totally different product.
Yeah.
Than the same old shit that has made me literally stop watching WWE.
Right.
But the main reason I have him on here is he's a predator. He preys on these superstars' hopes and dreams of being able to be the guy to be headlining WrestleMania. They grew up watching his product. They grew up wanting to do nothing more than wrestle for him and show him what they can do. And unless X applies, whatever the mystery factor is that Vince McMahon has to have to see you as a success, that's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
Outside of a near riot in the special examples of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Daniel Bryan, where it's literally, you just can't be ignored. The fans cannot be ignored anymore.
I think Stone Cold got lucky because Daniel Bryan definitely, there's no way you could deny that.
Yeah.
They did the whole hijack the ring thing, which was clearly staged, but at the same time,
but it was based on an actual online movement.
Yes.
Of hijacking Raw and doing nothing but chanting for Daniel Bryan, doing the yes chant to make them perfectly aware that him being anything other than the top guy was going to be unacceptable.
Whereas Stone Cold, you know, after the whole King of the Ring and Austin 316 took off, mm-hmm. I think they saw it as a huge money-making opportunity and they went with it.
Yeah.
But you could make that argument for Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, any number of guys that have had those moments where if you just did one thing right, you would make $1 million with that guy.
Yep.
Zack Ryder cashed in on his popularity during the Long Island story.
And that's a thing too, where he wasn't getting the time on television, on the actual WWE programming. Speaking as some, like, that this isn't just the same audience of Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Zack Ryder was a very low card, very low tiered wrestler.
Who'd been in there for quite a while.
He'd been in there for a while. He was never really a threat to any kind of championship. They never really used him other than to lose matches.
Or tag teaming with Kurt Hawkins?
Kurt Hawkins, yeah. And originally, that was just because they went to Edge.
They looked like Edge.
A veteran superstar. Yeah. And they were like, hey, we have an idea that might make you more popular and it would give us exposure.
Right.
And Edge was like, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
But so he wasn't being used on the television programming. So he went and made his own YouTube channel and his own YouTube program. And every week, True Long Island Story.
I always get tongue-tied saying that damn thing. Yeah.
And it got so popular. It's just this guy who embraced his character and went nuts with it. And it was entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden on TV, even shows he wasn't advertised for, the fans are chanting, we want Ryder.
Yeah.
And then they finally, it kind of seemed like, oh, they're paying attention to him. Immediately destroyed. They crushed all of his momentum.
By John Cena.
And went back to doing nothing.
Yeah. The curse.
Yeah.
Of Cena.
So, and
which is on AJ Styles now.
Yep. And so that's why I think, and Zack Ryder, who's a known WWE fan, like, he grew up loving Vince's company. He wants nothing. He doesn't want to wrestle anywhere else. He wants to wrestle for Vince and for the WWE. And for whatever reason, Vince doesn't see him as being a guy that can, you know, do anything important, so he doesn't get to. Even though the fans very clearly disagree with Vince.
And you're also, you're talking about Vince McMahon now.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to go into Vince McMahon's history.
No, yeah, that's his own show.
Yeah,
his
masochism, the way he treats women, the way he lied to his father's face.
That was actually going to be another thing I was going to talk about.
Which
was
one?
Just the blatant masochism and sexism
and also,
disgusting borderline sexual assault.
Yeah, on live TV.
Yep.
With people. Not counting the things backstage, allegedly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also the way he took territories down, the way he snuck people out, the way he's been shady, a shady promoter. He is that sleazy car salesman that you're always
100%.
Worried about. 100%. And he is a legend, but he's one of those legends that you kind of, you know,
like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, I can never deny his impact and like how important he is to professional wrestling as an entity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's a terrible human being.
It's like saying Chris Benoit. You can't deny what he did for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But you also can't
separate.
You can't separate the man from the
character.
The character. And when they released the McMahon DVD, that was when I think I checked out then. When Vince McMahon became so important that he got his own DVD.
That revisionist history.
Yes. Of what happened, how it happened.
He's a conquering hero. Yeah. We're not going to get a true Vince story.
No.
That's not done by a third party.
Not unless WCW had won.
Yeah.
And then, Eric Bischoff produced
and
it.
And even then you'd get, you know, the rise and fall of Vince McMahon. Like they did the self-destruction of Vince McMahon.
I'd like to see that.
I
would like to see him self-destruct is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's coming.
Suicide. Go on.
That's really all I had for.
Yeah, we don't want to turn this to a wrestling show.
No, yeah.
This isn't Wednesday. It's Tuesday.
For another 2 hours.
Right. We're getting there.
Tractor started up behind us. Hopefully it's not as loud as it was when we were doing the show straight through USB. We'll see what happens.
So. Am I going through all my
five? Yeah,
okay. I forgot.
No.
Okay. My number two is, the anti-vaxxer movement, most specifically Andrew Wakefield and Jenny McCarthy. For those who don't know, Andrew Wakefield is the former doctor because his, license to practice was revoked.
Because all the research he did was
fraudulent.
Lies.
Yeah. And Jenny McCarthy, the Playboy pinup and celebrity who believes that vaccines are the reason for her child's autism, who then went through a very specific diet of like anti-gluten and all these other things to help treat the autism. And so now, because of this very specific diet, her child is recovering.
So if you don't know about autism, you don't recover from it. You can deal with it. You can figure out how to respond to things better, but you're not going to be cured from it, especially through a diet.
Yeah, no, it's and I understand wanting to justify, like, because it's a terrible, like, not disease. Like, I mean, it's a disease.
It's
but
a disorder.
Yeah,
it's a developmental disorder. Whenever a person, normally males have autism, but it can be found in females. Whenever their brain is developing, something happens and they don't develop the same way everyone else does. So they think differently, they learn differently, and they can act differently.
I don't know the first thing about autism. I've said that before we did the show when you guys were telling me what we were going to talk about. I don't know the first thing about autism. I don't know what causes it. I don't know I barely know the symptoms. I'm an awful person to talk about this. So I'm going to avoid talking about the whole vaccinations leading to autism because it doesn't sound right.
It's because it's not. It's just 100%. Vaccines do not cause autism.
But
that is 100%. There have been, since 2003, the Central for Disease Control, the CDC, has done 9 independent separate studies done. All 9 have found 0 link between autism and vaccinations.
Yes. I don't know what else to say to it other than that.
No, yeah, because there isn't an argument to it. And the reason I hate Jenny McCarthy so much is because she uses her status as a pseudo celebrity to go out and tell parents how to properly care for their children. And she's blatantly wrong. Because of this whole anti-vaxxer movement, from December 2014 to February 2015, you guys might remember there was a measles outbreak in California. The only reason that happened is because unvaccinated children are being exposed to vaccinated children. Mm-hmm. And they are contracting this disease because even if a child is vaccinated, if it's surrounded by children that aren't vaccinated or if just direct contact with the disease, you can still contract it. It's much, much harder, but it's a totally preventable disease. There's no reason that someone, the first measles related death happened in 2015 in 12 years.
If you are more concerned about your child having autism
than dying of polio.
No. Just know.
It's
also, there was an episode of Law and Order SVU about that, ripped from the headline.
Was it written by Speedweed?
Written by Speedweed. Just want to point that out. I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are getting angry, I have a feeling, about this. I don't know. Like, this is one of those things that I feel like I'm not equipped to talk about. You guys have done more research than I have. You've looked this up. I'll tell you what I do hate. I hate, especially celebrities or anybody that advises nonsensical treatment for common problems or sensical problems. I don't know how to describe it right. But the same people that feel that they don't have to go to the doctor because faith healing will cure them, the same people that use natural remedies instead of going to see a professional about problems they have. I tie that in with the whole don't vaccinate your kids because whatever thing. It just seems wrong, but I don't know.
And it's because it is wrong. Just empirically, scientifically wrong. The thing that Jenny McCarthy said, the quote that really bothered me was, well, why doesn't the CDC come and talk to us? You know, why aren't they coming and talking to mothers? Because they don't need to talk to mothers who don't know shit about science, because they're doing actual experiments and lab work, because they are scientists. They know what the fuck they're talking about. And Jenny McCarthy is basing all of her vaccines cause autism. Her whole point of view is based on this one doctor who published an article which only got published in one like secondary medical journal, by the way. And that journal then retracted the article because it was found that Andrew Wakefield, I'm not going to call him doctor because he's not anymore, falsified the evidence and the claims. In fact, I'm trying to see what the GMC actually stands for, because it's the General Medical Council accused him of being a fraud, and they ruled against him on all issues, stating that he has, and this is direct quotes, failed in his duties as a responsible consultant, acted against the interests of his patients, and dishonestly and irresponsibly in his own controversial research. He brought the medical profession into disrepute. They erased his name from ever being a doctor, is how harshly they found against this guy.
So he's the Crispin Wah of doctors.
Basically. They're like, oh, hey, you did such a shitty thing. We're not even going to associate, like, we're never going to even pretend that we said you were a doctor.
All right, let me ask you this. For my knowledge, and maybe for people out there that don't know, why was this ever a thing? Where did the belief?
The belief came from him because
But what did he do? Like, what was his study that said?
I don't know what the actual study itself was. I do know that there was a report that he could have been making upwards of $64 million in testing kits.
Yeah.
Like autism detection kits for home use.
Right.
That he was going. Yeah. So he was going kits? To try to sell. Yeah. It's like you go to the doctor.
Were they tests or were like you watch them, you observe your child, or were they actually like do these medical exams on your child?
That I'm not sure. I didn't look into what he actually was trying to sell. Other than this is what he was trying to sell.
The only way you can diagnose autism is through observation.
It's through observation by trained professionals.
Yes.
It is autism.
Diagnostician.
You don't just go to the doctor and say, oh, this child is autistic. This child has autism. It's a long process. It is a difficult process, and it's not an easy diagnosis to come to. That's why when that diagnosis is given out, it is given out with a very certain weight, because it's a very serious issue, and it's not just a lot of people like to label them. They self-diagnose themselves as it because sometimes they're socially awkward, and that is ridiculous.
Mm-mm. Autism is also a spectrum. So whenever you're being diagnosed with it, you could be high functioning autism. So you act very normal. You can have conversations with people. It's just there are a few things that are, you most likely have autism. So diagnosing autism is very difficult. And giving a test to a parent isn't gonna work.
I mean, I've got a WebMD joke here, but I'm not going to use it because
That's basically what he was trying to sell.
Yeah.
Is this home, like...
Sucked the life right out of me.
And then so, and I also want to point out during this, because yeah, the study was pulled. He lost his license to practice medicine, do research. But a lot of this was because of a guy named Brian Deer, who went out and just really challenged these, and he was a main antagonist to this Andrew Wakefield guy. He was a journalist. But he constantly was on his case about how he lied and how far he went to lie and how much he lied. And, he constantly pointed out, he openly invited Wakefield to sue him for libel or for defamation. And every time he tried, that case was either dismissed or Wakefield withdrew.
So,
which I think is very telling.
Yeah.
That. Yeah, it's.
Yes.
I wish I had more to say on it.
I want people to also look up, go to YouTube and type in Penn and Teller on autism, because it's a minute 30-second video that is beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, but they also did a video about.
They're very antagonistic about it.
They're very antagonistic about everything.
It's true.
They did one about UFOs that I'm still sore about.
Yeah. But their autism on vaccines one is real good.
So we'll do that and move along.
Yeah.
We're already 30 minutes in.
It's preventable diseases.
Yeah.
People should not be getting sick. Children should not be dying.
I'm just going to go ahead and X out my picks real quick because I knew that was going to happen.
No, this is, mine won't last much longer. The next one I have is John Edward, which I'm kind of lumping him into any sort of psychic.
Now this time a little bit
person
more,
that will prey on the vulnerable people to try to make a profit.
Same as faith healers, televangelists.
Right, yeah. Which I know is on
Parasites.
Your list. Yeah, these.
Actually, I didn't put them on my list.
Oh, really?
No, so go ahead.
Okay.
Feel free.
So John Edward especially, is a man who will, for the sake of entertainment, is what he'll try to say, he can contact people who have passed away and pass along messages to living family members who are in grief over the loss of their child or spouse or parent or friend, whoever. Basically, South Park did an episode on him, tangentially, and they named him the biggest douche in the universe, which I still laugh about, because, and same thing with like faith healers, you know, throw away your medicine. As an act of faith, God will heal you. Throw away your medicine.
Which is.
Send me money. Don't go to the doctors. Doctors can't help you. God can help you. I can, you know, that John Oliver one where the woman sent her life savings to some douchebag on TV because she believed he could cure her cancer.
Yeah.
No. Fuck that guy. He should be in jail.
Yeah.
I think he was at one point, but, you know.
Because guess what? It's America. She didn't get cured.
And
I know you're shocked.
And okay, so everybody, if you listen to this show, you know that I'm a big believer in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have had many discussions where I've tried to show you, hey, here's something that's unexplainable, and you've told me you don't believe in that stuff, and I don't know why I keep doing it. Maybe I'm a masochist myself. But there's a couple things that I don't believe in. I don't believe in Ouija boards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just don't. Anything that Milton Bradley or
I was gonna say, you don't think the Parker brothers have access to the
I don't think they have access to the other side and the gates of hell. So I don't believe in Ouija boards. I think they're stupid because if you believe the quote unquote science behind ghosts is that they require energy to move and all this, there's no energy in a block of wood.
No.
Just for the record. And I don't believe in psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example of why I don't believe in psychics, and you know this story already, was Chris Angel.
Yeah.
When he was on that terrible.
Like Britain's Got Talent or America's Got Talent,
something
like that.
Some terrible show where there was a guy who said he could predict things and talk to the dead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an envelope and he said, if you could tell me what's in this envelope, I'll give you however much amount of money. At the end of the show, he revealed that what was in the envelope was just a piece of paper and had 9/11 written on it. And he said, if there were psychics in the world, you know, this never
would have
known
about it.
Psychics have been scamming people since the beginning of time.
Which, speaking of 9/11, John Edward, the crossing over douchebag, had a special planned that in November of 2001 was going to have a special crossing over episode where he communicated with victims of 9/11 to talk to their families.
Sickening.
You know, the thing that happened 2 months ago at the time.
Here's what upsets me about this. My mother and my father are both passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give anything to speak to my mother one more time. Anything. Untold amounts of money. And it's very easy for people like that to prey on people when they're so desperate to speak to someone they miss so much.
Yeah.
And it's, one of the few people that I would love to just snap his neck in public.
Yeah.
Because that sickens me. Would you prey on people that are suffering?
And one of the things that I'll get to on the love list, he does this thing called hot and cold reading. Just, you know, I'm sensing does anyone in the room know someone with a J?
They throw enough stuff out.
Oh, it's my cousin Joey.
That someone gets caught.
But at the same time, like a lot of the faith healers have a practice of, they will have prayer requests where they fill their name, their address, what's wrong with them, and they submit it. And then whenever they're like, is there a Julia McIntyre? Where's Julia McIntyre? And she steps forward and it's a miracle because God chose her. No, he didn't.
He picked you out of the
production
stack.
Assistant pulled your card that you filled out. Mm-hmm. And gave him that information.
Yeah.
And, just predators. Fucking predators. Next thing I have is like the super hardcore religious right. The type of people who are telling you how you have to live your life based on the Bible and certain things are wrong and immoral. And then, but ignore my son because he's diddling his sister and like six other women.
And,
the Duggar family. Yeah, the Duggar family, or, you know, abstinence only, birth control, because that's what Jesus would want, coming from someone who has two children out of wedlock.
Yeah. Bristol Palin.
Yeah, just.
I like the guessing game.
You're good at it. You're two for two.
They call me Mr. Two for Two.
That's almost 100%.
Ah!
I can't handle that kind of bullshit. And it's always some like super conservative policymaker who's voting against gay marriage and abortion and all that, that then turns out to have a 13-year-old boy on retainer that he just likes to go and molest.
Like I said in the opening commercial, whatever, parody, whatever, I wanted to say statistically, you're more likely to be fondled in a bathroom by a conservative than you are by a transgender person, because there's more evidence to back that up.
And not only a conservative.
But you can say that and you can provide as many details as you want. People won't believe
it. Oh yeah, it doesn't matter because transgender is icky and I don't want to talk to my kids about that.
And conservatives are for God. And that's, you know, I can't watch Fox News, and I'll actually talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to those people. And everyone always says, well, why are you guys so left on the show? Why are you so left? Why are you turbo libs? If we can bring back a term. I'm not a turbo lib. But I am definitely more on the side of people that have more rational thoughts than the right-wing conservatives who just spout the most generic, vague, Bible-thumping bullshit and get millions of people to follow along with them just because that's how they were raised in the Bible Belt and whatnot.
And that lines up perfectly with my narrow worldview.
Yes.
Everything outside of that is scary and wrong.
Yes.
Because not only are you more likely to be molested by a conservative, you are wildly more likely to be molested by a family member. Or a trusted adult, or it's infuriating that this idea of a trench coat wearing, like, guy in drag follows a little girl into a bathroom.
So he can
fondle
her.
It's his fucking swim coach. It's her swim coach.
Yeah.
It's a teacher. It's your
stepdad.
Brother. It's a stepdad. This idea of stranger danger, while yes, it's not completely negligible because sometimes.
Of course, it's
terrible
a thing.
Things happen.
Yeah.
But how many times do you get the Amber Alert on your phone and it's because a dad kidnapped his daughter? It was an uncle. It was a family friend. It's someone that already knows you.
Kids are gonna be more likely to go with someone they recognize.
Yeah.
They're not gonna just go, okay, I've never seen you before. Mom's just a few feet away.
Yeah, it's not even just kids. It's women. It's grown women. It's college campuses. It's, you know,
yeah.
You're more than likely it's a date rape. It is an acquaintance.
Yeah.
That's.
Did you also know that you're more likely to be shot and killed by a child than a Muslim terrorist? Statistically,
yeah, a toddler. By a toddler.
More toddlers have killed people in the past few years than extreme Muslim terrorists.
I actually looked it up too because I had the percentage, but
you can't say it. You can't tell people that because
it doesn't
listen.
Matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're more, I think it's like 64%, and I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong. You're 64% more likely to be a child or a teenager or an adolescent is 64% more likely to be abused in their home or school than in a public place.
Yeah.
You think it goes against God, so you dredge up any possible excuse.
It's those memes you see where it says, you know, all of these terrible things happen behind closed doors in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Of teachers, all of these, the pedophiles, molesters, but nobody says anything about it. There's not a big outrage. But the moment transgender person wants to use the bathroom, everyone's on their fucking high horse of morality to speak against it. When you ignore all of the other problems that are happening.
Yeah. That's why it's on my list. And then my last one, which is the one that I care about the least, honestly. But people like Sam Pepper and the YouTube prank videos. It's just a prank, bro. No, you're a child, and that's harassment.
Yeah.
Like, literal, actual charge, sexual assault charges have been filed against this person because he had a bit where he had a fake arm in a pocket, and then he would grab girls' butts.
No, it's cute, bro.
Oh, it's just for YouTube, bro. It's just a prank. Yeah, it's just on YouTube. Or going into the ghetto, in quotes, and, oh, look, a nickel in front of a group of people sitting on – a group of black people sitting on a stairwell or wherever they are. To get a rise out of them.
Is he the same guy that did where he walked around and he said, "What's up, my neighbor?"
Something like that.
Something similar. Well, basically, you're trying to say a word that sounds like the N word.
Right.
To get them a rise to react. Out. Yeah.
And
is that entertainment? I know people like Zach Kirkus love those videos, and I love Zach. Don't get me wrong. But I don't understand. Maybe I'm old. I am old.
And that's what it has to be. Because I don't understand. No one over the age of 15. No one over the age of 15 can find that entertaining. I don't understand how you can. Or like the ones where I saw one the other day where, it literally was staged to look like a murder was happening. Like there was like this masked, like slasher, like a scene in a slasher movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know how I know that one happened somewhere like Vermont or Britain and not in Alabama or Mississippi? Because the person wasn't immediately shot.
Yeah.
You can't do that kind of video
by a toddler.
In a state that has a, in a state that has a concealed carry law.
Yeah.
Because that's, and then, oh, then you know they would try to get sued. Like, cause they've been, people like this have been assaulted. Rightfully so.
You know a good prank show? Not this Sam Pepper bullshit, but a good prank show that I actually liked. Do you remember Scare Tactics? On Sci-Fi?
I would disagree with that.
I liked it because it was outlandish. Here you had scenarios where aliens were attacking or something like that.
Yes, it was outlandish, but at the same time, like, I've seen episodes of that where people legitimately thought they were gonna die.
It's a prank, bro.
And I don't think that's funny.
Woo, woo, woo.
Like Swerved, where they have WWE wrestlers do pranks on people. And it's like the one with Big E, like, tossing the medicine ball to the girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, throw it harder. And then he catches it, but then he immediately like falls backwards and breaks the TV.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's kind of.
I guess I can't.
But where you're actually physically assaulting someone or trying to bring up literal hundreds of years of hatred oppression and oppression. And,
yeah.
There's a big difference between getting a rise out of somebody with a harmless prank versus legitimate sexual assault and racism or just of exploitation.
Yeah.
And everything's a little exploitive, I guess. But there's a difference. There is a difference. I prank people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun when I do it. When I say that when I'm dead, or I type to people, "Hey, I died last night. I'm a ghost now. What's up?" You know?
Oh, boo, what up?
Oh. Allie, you got things you're mad about, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's get this over with.
Okay. Well, number
one. You better cuss, too.
Number one is Planned Parenthood protesters, because the people that just kind of stand outside of Planned Parenthood with signs yelling at people they've never met, and they're yelling things like, "You're a murderer and you're doing all this," whenever you have no idea. It's more likely that someone is going into Planned Parenthood for a miscarriage or stillbirth than for an abortion.
Well, I think people are upset about that because they take those baby parts and sell them.
Stop it.
There was a video.
Yeah, there sure was. Oh,
but
it's okay to lie about those people because they're baby killers.
It's a prank, bro.
They are gonna go in there and get an abortion. They're going through a time where they are gonna go through depression because their body is gonna make them, because their body is getting ready for a child, and they're gonna stop them. Their hormones are gonna be all out of whack. They're going to go into a depression, and you're yelling at them.
There's a really good, of course, we often quote or refer to John Oliver because he really does good work. And he did a great segment on Last Week Tonight about abortions and how hard it is for, how it's getting harder for people to get abortions and how much trouble they have to go through to do it. You know, that I think is part of it is because of Planned Parenthood protests. And again, that conservative right wing that says you're not following the Bible and this is a Christian country.
Have you?
This is a Christian country, Asa.
Have you seen the Samantha Bee, her show?
Full Frontal?
Full Frontal. They did a really great segment on crisis pregnancy centers with Patton Oswalt, where basically they just blatantly lie to women about how far along they are in their pregnancy, and they use legitimate scare tactics to talk them out of receiving abortions.
That is horrible.
Yes, it is.
I'm that odd duck. I think I'm the only one in the group that, well, maybe Tanner, that I am anti-abortion myself.
I'm anti-abortion, but I still hate this.
I also hate this. You know, because I think that's ridiculous. The whole Planned Parenthood protest.
Yeah.
If a friend of mine came up to me and said, I'm pregnant, I'm thinking about having an abortion, I would not disown that friend. I would not say, well, no, we can't be friends anymore. I would say, can you tell me why?
Would you make a video talking about how maybe these doctors and nurses should be afraid instead of the unborn children? And then the next day, when a guy shoots up a Planned Parenthood, be like, oh, well, I didn't mean that.
Just a prank, yeah. Bro.
It
was a toddler that shot that Planned Parenthood.
And if there are any people out there trying to stop abortions, which I kind of doubt, listening to this, I doubt you're not going to get that to work by protesting Planned Parenthood. You're going to get that to work by changing people's minds about adoption, about having an option to give a child a life and fixing maybe foster cares and making those things better so they don't think putting a child in foster care is just going to ruin its life.
I want to say that I thought my list was going to be controversial, and no. Like, compared to what you guys are talking about, I'm going to cancel my list. I don't want to talk about it anymore. You're talking about Planned Parenthood and vaccinations, and I'm like, hey, How about that Fox News?
It's upsetting to me. Yes. But I'm going to move on.
Yes.
My next one is actually something that happened in history whenever Dr. Aubrey Levin, who is still a doctor, this might upset you because he's still a doctor, did the aversion.
His name's Aubrey.
Aversion.
Wait, his name's Aubrey?
What bathroom he use?
Did he go to Jackson Tire Center? Because they only have one bathroom, and it's locked.
Well, the thing is, this oddly goes with that.
Okay. Well, this sounds like fun.
The Aversion Project, which is, he was in he worked with the military, and they would seek out people who were gay, who were either gay or lesbian, and they would first try to drug cure them, or electric shock therapy to cure them, mostly white males, some females, from the age of 16 to 24. And whenever drug cures didn't work, they either did chemical castrations or performed sex change operations on them. Over 900 sex change operations.
Many of which were not consensual.
It's 904 sex change operations happened between the years of 1971 and 1989.
This kind of goes hand in hand with, like, Pray the Gay Away camps.
Yeah.
Actively try to torture and brainwash.
The leader, who was Dr. Aubrey Levin, but everyone with that operation, because there are many people walking around the military trying to find people. And it's just
don't ask,
awful.
Don't tell.
Yeah, just ugh.
It's sad that they had to create a rule for that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and a bad rule,
a terrible rule.
That's the most kind of upsetting thing. My next one is the idiots that put the
She started with idiots, so I like where this is going.
The idiots that put the bison in the back of their car, the baby,
because it looked cold.
Because it looked cold and lost, and they wanted to take it. No, it's a wild animal, and you just caused it to die because you got near it, and the mother disowned him.
Yeah, people in nature have a real long history of poor decisions.
Yes.
People are putting bisons in the back of their car. Neglectful parents are letting their baby fall into gorilla pits.
I wasn't going to talk about that one.
I know, but... It's just, it's baffling that people, what was that happened? We talked about it before. It was like a dolphin.
People found a dolphin, so they passed it around to take selfies with it, and it died.
It died so they could get something
on Twitter. Because it's not in water. Where it lives!
But no, it's a mammal. It breathes oxygen.
Turns out that dolphin was actually fake. It was a prank.
Just a prank, bro.
Just a prank, bro.
Ugh.
It's pretty stupid that that is what we've become as a society, is that instead
I'd rather
shit! I was about to say, instead of helping creatures when they need it, we take selfies with them, but then we try to help them because you're an idiot, and then you kill it anyway.
Leave nature alone.
Leave nature alone. Leave nature alone.
Nature does so much better without us. Why are we here?
You know what we need? A Godzilla. Just something from nature to remind us to shut the fuck up and mind our own business. Sit and spin. Nuclear breath style.
Oh, gosh. Should I move on? Are we done with this one?
It's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my...
It's you know, what happens in the ring is really up to you.
The next one is one that you've talked about on the show before, I'm pretty sure, is Michelle Carter.
Yes, the suicide boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The teenage girl who convinced her boyfriend to commit suicide.
That was one of...
And then once he did, acted all sorry for herself.
She got the attention for it. And portrayed herself as a loving partner who was suffering through this with her. But if you look at the transcripts of her saying, well, did you do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going
to
do it today?
Do it now. Your family's gone.
Just do it.
They'll understand. I'll take care of them. She pushed him into suicide. She absolutely did. And what a despicable human being. We actually did a show about this. Look it up. I believe it's under pop culture on the Podzilla 1985 site. We had Kurt McDowell in that day, I believe, talking with us about it. Great guy. And what a sickening story. I'm actually looking up right now because I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she was ever convicted or...
She better be.
Yeah, because it is very illegal to, like, push someone into killing themselves.
And it's... You could, in the scripts, the text messages, you could tell that he was so hesitant. He was, I don't know if I want to... Yeah.
She could have talked him out of it very easily.
So easily, but she pushed him into it.
Yeah, she actively encouraged it.
It looks like, from what I'm seeing, is the case is still going. 2 years later,
yeah.
And it's still going.
Yeah,
but that is our legal system right there.
Of course.
Sure is.
Conrad Roy was the name of the young man who killed himself at the...
Mm-hmm.
Encouragement.
At the encouragement of his loving girlfriend, who mm-hmm. then staged rallies for him and for suicide and really made herself a star. Good for her. I really want to believe in God because I'd love to believe that even after this bitch dies, she'll still be punished somehow. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not true, but I'd like to believe it. Good choice.
It angers me. And my last one, which is kind of the odd one, I think, is adoption cost and the adoption process of making sure people are who they are and everything is great. But adoption costs so much, especially in America. The story that came up, which is actually a heartwarming story that I turned negative.
Good job.
We did it.
You fit in well.
The mission accomplished banner just dropped.
I just got a trophy popped up.
Achievement unlocked.
But it's a story about this 9-year-old boy who raised the money so he could become adopted because he was in and out of his biological mother's house, and he finally got put in with these parents who he loved. He loved the place. He wanted them to be his actual parents, but they couldn't afford a $10,000 adoption. They're already his legal guardians, and so he was able to raise the money with a lemonade stand, which is great and happy and everything.
It's insane,
yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, it is. He actually raised more than $10,000.
And you make a really good point, like, because thorough background checks and everything, it's very,
very important.
Very important.
My thing has to do with the cost.
Yeah, having to then pay, like, are you just buying a child? Is this the legal way of just purchasing
a... There are some places where adoptions are so much less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the cost for adoption for both parties, because if you're having a child and you put it up for adoption, you have to pay, and so does the adopting family.
I wonder who gets that money. Does that just go? Is that like? Is there like a Department of Child Care that gets it?
The payments?
Yeah, or is it like the
I have a similar question about one of my choices later.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now you know why more people get abortions than going for adoption.
Yeah, because that, and then also because adoption is so expensive, they couldn't put into foster cares, which are just god awful.
Yeah,
and they need to be fixed.
Yeah, it can be. It's like, I mean, there's like a lot of things, right? There's good examples and then there's really, yeah. really awful examples. And
yeah.
It's just heartbreaking to me that so many kids could be adopted but can't because it costs so much.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing on my list.
Okay, well.
But the good news is that that particular child did get his adoption because he was able, through a lemonade stand.
That one kid out of
I wonder all of them. What the lemonade was where he was able to raise $10,000.
It was just one glass of $10,000.
I mean, don't forget, guys. Don't forget. Creflo Dollar asked for $60 million for a brand new jet and eventually got it through donations.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this kid raised $10,000 by himself with a lemonade stand so he could have parents. These are the Christian leaders that the right wing wants us to listen to. Well, Creflo Dollar.
Creflo Dollar prayed for him on his jet. That's why it happened.
Fucking bullshit.
He drank lemonade he bought from the store and said, you know, I hope that kid does well.
He tipped that kid a nickel.
If this lemonade is not great, he ain't getting nothing.
He ain't getting
my money.
Tip.
I want my money back.
That's for sure. All right. Well, I also have a list of five things. We got about 10 minutes left. So I'm going to speed through mine.
So we can That's why I thought we were going to rotate.
Long. No. We can't go long. We don't have the network anymore.
Who bought it?
Creflo Dollar. He bought me a glass of lemonade.
We're going to open the hatch. The name is in the hatch.
All right. So my list, I'm going to go over real quick. I really don't feel like I need to go too far into these. Mine are a lot vaguer than yours are. You guys had really specific ones.
I did research today.
I did too.
I didn't do research. I'm just going off of my gut instinct. And the first
granted,
one,
I only researched the one that I yelled about the most.
The vaccinations?
Yeah.
But you yelled so loud. That's how you know
that's
you're
how I know I'm, that's yell. How, well, that's how I know I'm right. So, I'm the loudest one yelling.
My first one is just a blanket statement, and that's the United States government.
Well, USA.
As a conspiracy theorist,
listen here, terrorists. Yesterday was Memorial Day, so.
There's so many things that you could point out about it. A couple examples of why I hate the United States government. You gonna mock me now?
If you don't love me, I'm leaving.
I told you guys about this, and this still baffles my mind. Every time I bring up Unit 731, people just kind of go, oh, that's interesting. And I go, really? Really? Like, do you have any interest in it? Unit 731 was a Japanese scientific lab, biological chemical research facility, where they kidnapped Chinese people, soldiers, innocent people, and did the worst experiments possible on them. Vivisection. They did germ warfare. They raped them. They did frostbite testing. They used them as live test subjects for weapons. They did the most awful things that humans could possibly do to each other, to innocent people. And then when the United States caught wind of it, what did they do? They gave every single one of them immunity in exchange for the research that they did against human beings. That is what America does.
And what's the difference between just acquiring that and setting them free and doing it yourself?
I guess maybe they had more information that they handed over that maybe they didn't have otherwise. But I believe it was Douglas MacArthur, I want to say. Yeah, Douglas MacArthur. This is from Wikipedia. Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces wrote to Washington that additional data, possibly some elements from Ishii, who is, his name was Shiro Ishii, was the leader of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he? I just lost my train of thought there. Can be obtained by informing Japanese involved that information will be retained in intelligence channels and will not be employed as war crimes evidence. Victim accounts were then largely ignored or dismissed as communist propaganda. So they then said in the West that what happened over there was just lies by communists, when in reality, hundreds of thousands of people died and were tortured, and the United States gave them a free pass on it
just to get
information on how to torture and kill other people. And that's not the only thing. You can also look into Agent Orange. You can look into all of the things we have done. And that's just recent history.
Horrible,
go back further into slavery, into smallpox and Indians and blankets and all these other terrible things. The United States government is god-awful. They've been god-awful. They're god-awful now. And if you think Donald Trump is going to change that, you're god-awful too, but you probably already knew that.
He just got that big endorsement.
From where?
North Korea.
Is that the fun Korea?
Is that the fun Korea?
Because there's a good one and a bad one. Also, the NSA probe. That really got me. Yeah. That reignited my hatred of the United States government, that we were being spied on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you've seen The Dark Knight, it's like that scene where Batman's got all the cell phones,
mm-hmm.
except that really happened. And it wasn't Batman. So you can't trust him. Number two, I put one specific name down, but it kind of ties into a whole group of people. I said Fox News,
mm-hmm.
in particular, Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who Ann Coulter is, but she's a right-wing nut job who has said the most vile things about people and is still employed by Fox News, is still contributes. Also wrote down Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Fox yeah. News in general.
I assumed that you would either do, like the prosperity gospel televangelist mm-hmm. or Fox News, something like that, but they kind of were lumped in on my John Edwards thing. I was going to. Because it's just, they pander to the people who just want to be reassured that they're right.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. their narrow,
that their right, racist, bigoted views are correct.
Right. And Donald Trump says what he wants. And that's admirable. Is code for Donald Trump makes it okay to be racist. Out loud. Used to, we had to like keep that in, you know, we wouldn't just talk about that when we went out to dinner in public. We had to just save that for dinner at home.
Mm-hmm.
But now everyone can hear.
And they've built, I mean, it's the same people that love Donald Trump. It's these people.
And they don't even love Donald Trump.
No, and yeah, even Fox News is against yeah. Donald Trump. But yeah. now you're starting to see the right wing starting to kind of give in occasionally. Like Mark Rubio said he'll support Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Ryan said he had a great, you know, dinner or lunch, whatever, with Trump, and they're talking about things. They will have to support him, but they don't want to.
Yeah.
You almost feel bad for Republicans, but then you don't.
This is one of the, like, someone, it was like, can we just get a reroll? Can we do a hard reset on this election?
Roll for common sense. I don't really have, I mean, you can look up Ann Coulter's quotes. I mean, she's never done anything to anybody because she's just a talking head. She's someone that spouts nonsense.
A talking head on
can
TV be dangerous.
But it can,
yeah. can do so like, much. And it's been proven with some human experiments.
And like that, like the Planned Parenthood, the guy posts the video about mm-hmm. how something has to be done about these murderous doctors.
And they did.
And someone mm-hmm. murdered some doctors.
I'd like to think Ann Coulter is just a prank, bro, but she's not.
And the same thing with Donald Trump. Like, if it turns out that Donald Trump was just a farce all along,
like, if
it's
Donald
not
Trump
funny.
Wins the election no. and then goes, ha, I don't really want to be president.
I
just
want to
see if
this.
I could. Oh, screw you.
He'll all sell right. it.
This kind of ties into the media. My number three. Anybody that listens to this show or reads Blogzilla 1985, they know that I am a journalist. I went to college for journalism. And what?
The way you said that, I thought you were going to name the people who listen to the show and read Blogzilla as the people that you hate.
No!
I was like, what is happening?
God, no. I need them.
I'm sorry.
I desperately need them.
We love you.
No, media parasites. Like, mm-hmm. a couple examples. The good Reverend Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton. People that find a tragedy and then attach themselves to it like a tick.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson went to Ferguson and protested.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Baltimore with Freddie Gray. They went to all these places, wherever cameras are, to talk about the struggle of black people and how much they need help and this and that, and then leave. Once the blood's dried up, they go to the next one and they could give a shit less about what happens to the other people. And not only that, but where is Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson in places like Chicago when people are dying on the street that aren't killed by white people or cops? Where's the outrage from them? Where's the outrage from that community? The people that exploit tragedies, kind of like the faith healers, mm-hmm. like people like that. This is the same thing, just in a different medium.
And the worst part about it too, at least to me, is the fact that not only do they attach themselves to these causes and then just disappear when the cameras disappear, these are very real causes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that deserve attention.
Yes.
And they do nothing but the people who are on the fence or even people who don't agree that, oh, that's a real thing. They can then just point at them as just showmen
yeah.
who are doing exactly what you say they're doing. And just because they associate with that cause means the entire cause
yeah.
is unfounded.
There have been people yeah. in these situations that have legitimately asked the good Reverend and Al Sharpton not to come.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that attention here. We want real change.
We need legitimate.
And yeah. you're not going to get change as long as you have these guys exploiting people like that. They're like talk show hosts. Like Maury Povich, Dr. Phil, people like that, if instead of just filming their show and putting it out there, they traveled the country finding people to interview and to exploit for their own profit and their own 15 minutes of fame. Because I ask anyone out there, what has Jesse Jackson ever done? What has Al Sharpton ever done? Do you know what they do? Do you know what their jobs are? Or do you just know them as people that show up occasionally, talk about something important and then disappear when the next black kid dies.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that really enrages me. I hate the media. I hate the way we talk about things. Mm-hmm. I hate the way we discuss them. I hate the way we think about them. People don't want actual change. They just want to laugh at it and look at it like it's a TV show. But life is not a TV show. And these people are not characters.
That's like, I know this is going to be way off topic, but it's kind of why I read someone did a kind of like an open letter to Trevor Noah, the man who took over for Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. Yeah. Because, and why his show felt like it was falling flat. Because Trevor Noah is not an American, doing most primarily American, news. And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like an outsider, kind of poking fun, like, oh, you crazy Americans, you're silly. Whereas you had Jon Stewart, who would absolutely mock a topic or a person or a news story, but he did so with, there's always a, just right under the surface of just an anger and a sadness.
Yeah, like he was being
because
funny.
Because he very much had an invested interest because this is his home, like he's, you know, he's from here. And like, it's much less xenophobic than the way I'm phrasing it. But it's, you know, it's, there was a soul to the way he would tell a story and a legitimate anger because he wanted to, you know, even though it was a comedy show, like he did try to do some actual change in the way that media presents things.
It's like John Oliver again, even though John Oliver is not an American.
Right.
He does comedy.
But he very clearly cares about these issues.
Yes. And has a stance and says it. I think John Oliver does more and John Stewart does more for the issues that are happening than people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're just media whores.
Yeah.
And we gladly feed them all the attention that they want every single time.
Yeah.
And the media should be ashamed of themselves. That's all I'll say about it. You can read my rants more on in the newest issue of the National Enquirer. They're the only ones that are hard. It's next to the one about Bigfoot.
I was going to say, is it true that Bigfoot and the Pope got married this weekend?
Yes, but Huckleberry caught him. Brought him back to the Appalachian Mountains.
Did they get it on film?
Unfortunately, no. A Bigfoot took the camera.
Well, I need this for the honeymoon.
Next on my list is one that you kind of told me to be careful about, and I understand why. Obamacare. Now, let me first off point out, the reason I'm calling it Obamacare is because that is what most people know it as.
Mm-hmm.
If you say the Affordable Health Care Act, I think is what it's
called.
If you say that, people will go, well, that sounds good. But then if you tell them, but if you might know it as Obamacare, they immediately go, well, that's an awful idea.
Oh, you mean Hitler care?
Yeah. Well, he's worse than Hitler. Ann Coulter clearly said that, I'm pretty sure. Obamacare in itself is not a bad thing. It's not bad because people deserve to have health insurance. That is a long-standing problem in the United States, is that people can't afford to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly something that needs to be changed. And I think Obama had a great idea in how he wanted to do that. Now, through actions by other people,
right,
there were tacked on things, including that people that don't get the health care are now penalized.
Yeah.
I myself lost, I want to say, close to $300-$400 off my most recent tax refund.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have health care for 6 months last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I need health care. I know I need health care. I know that. I get it. But you know what? That's my decision. If you're making it affordable to people that need it, great. But if you're going to tell me I have to get it,
mm-hmm,
or else you're going to charge me money, and where does that money go? Because I'm pretty sure it goes right to the government. So basically the government's saying either pay us for healthcare or pay us for not having healthcare. And the rate's going to go up every year. Next year, it's going to be doubled. I'm going to lose probably $600-$700 out of my fairly meager tax refund that I need because I don't have a lot of money.
Right.
And I think it's ridiculous. And I'm not a right winger by any means.
Yeah.
But I think it's ridiculous.
Which is good because it was the right wing
that instituted
the penalty system.
And again, I'm only calling it because you know it as that name.
I think honestly, like, I kind of feel like you should just lump it in as the healthcare system in general.
Yes.
Because not only is the fact that you get penalized for not having healthcare, the fact that you have to have this insurance that is only still going to cover part of it only covers a pint of the unicorn blood that it takes to run the ambulance.
That's the part that makes me laugh the most, is they said, well, you can get the cheapest healthcare plan and that way you'll have healthcare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's the point?
Yeah.
What are you going to get for the cheapest healthcare plan?
Mine is the plan that I have, because I didn't have insurance at all last year. The plan that I have is affordable, especially now that my car is paid off. But it's still not great.
If something were to actually happen to you, something bad.
If I got in a car wreck on the way home and I had to spend an extended period at the hospital, I would be fucked.
Yeah, you have health care.
Yeah.
See how much that covers you. Also, let's see how much that pays your wages when you can't work. Mm-hmm. You know? It's ridiculous. The healthcare system, the government, the United States in general has a lot of problems. Still the greatest country in the world.
You know, we can make it great again.
How?
I don't know. With the best policies.
Sanders? And the last thing on my thing I hate the most, and I think this sums up everything in just one word, humanity.
Yeah.
I hate humanity. I hate almost every single soul I meet. I hate them. There's a lot of people I like, and there's a lot of people I care about. But most of the people that I come across with their greed, their hypocrisy, with just the general way they don't give a shit about other people because of their narrow-minded views, makes me wish I understand every supervillain that has ever wanted to wipe humanity out of existence. It's a disease. We're awful, awful people, and we really should be exterminated because the dinosaurs probably had it better than us. They were probably doing it better than we did.
This is the monologue that plays over you being shackled, like, led to your maximum security cell, like, at the end of the movie with the beaten just hero, like.
But of course, the joke is that I have no powers, so when they put me in the facility, I stay there. I don't get out. But no, is humanity redeemable? Of course it is. But do I still hate humanity? I do. Now, will I fight for people and protect them? Absolutely. Because I care about people. But that doesn't change the fact that I think humanity is an awful, awful thing. And if you look through history, most of the time, you're going to agree with me.
Yeah. People in general have been dicks.
For a long time.
And
we'll continue to be so. You'd think that we would look at our history and go, well, look at all these things we did. Look how we discriminated against people for this reason that was ridiculous at the time.
Right.
And now we look back, like slavery.
Yeah.
Most people, not everyone, Donald Trump supporters, look at slavery and go, well, that was an awful thing. I can't believe we did that to each other. I like to think in 200 years, people are going to look back and go, wow, transgender bathroom laws, gay marriage being banned, those are awful things. I'm glad we moved past that.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd think we as people would look at it now and go, that makes no sense. Can we not learn from the mistakes of the people that came before us?
Yeah, it's...
We just find new mistakes to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my list of things that I hate, and humanity the most. I hate you. Humanity. Can we use Humanity by the Scorpions as the intro song? Never mind.
I don't know that song.
It's a good song. All right. So we're running way late. We're already 5 minutes over. So we're going to go through the happy things kind of quick.
Okay.
Because I do want to read off what the listeners have been saying about the show tonight. Asa, let's start with you. These are five things that are complete against the things we hate. These are things we love.
This was the five people that I picked that just make me happy.
Yes.
And that I can think of as, okay, not everything is garbage.
Yes.
Number one is James Randi, The Amazing Randi.
Yes.
I had his documentary. It's on Netflix, An Honest Liar. I have talked at length about it multiple times on the show before. Go watch it. He's an amazing person. Goes around and debunks all of these so-called psychics and faith healers and people who will use their power to deceive at the expense of others.
Exploiting.
Yeah. And I will be completely honest. Some of the things that Amazing Randi has done is pretty dickish. But the reason that he, it was kind of like a do the ends justify the means thing, because he did fool an entire science study, as well as multiple people with that whole James Alvarez demon possession thing. But as just a, you know, his underlying message is always just, you know, keep your eyes open. Be careful with who says what, because it is very easy to.
And one thing I want to point out about James Randi, for everybody that's out there going, well, I don't like, I, you know, because myself would say, well, I mean, come on. There are things out there that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like the Amazing Randi is completely against them. Like religion. He's an atheist. All these other things. But it's important to note that he's not an atheist because he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist because he hasn't seen the proof that God exists.
Right.
So he's not saying these things don't exist. He's just saying, I've never seen it. And these people are exploiting people for their own, you know, their own
profit. Gain.
So I think there's an important distinction to be made between someone that absolutely says this doesn't exist, I don't believe it just because, and someone that says I don't believe this because I've never seen the evidence for it.
Right.
That's a smart man versus a,
just someone who's as much biased of a follower as,
exactly.
He's not stopping these faith healers or whatever because they believe in a God. He's stopping them because he is hurting people.
Yeah, because there are plenty of good people in church that do great things.
Right.
They do.
But people like Peter Popoff, who
Uri Geller,
throw your pills out into the aisles. Infuriating.
We're moving on to the happy
list. Sylvia Brown.
Amazing Randi.
Sorry.
Look him up. He's awesome. Escape artist, just fun guy. He did a really good interview on the Nerdist podcast. His documentary's on Netflix.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nerdist podcast, Chris Hardwick in general and the Nerdist podcast. I haven't listened to it. I actually haven't listened to it in probably since the new year.
You know what makes me laugh about Chris Hardwick is when I was a kid, I used to watch him on MTV.
Singled Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember when you guys were telling me Chris Hardwick, I'm like, why does that name sound familiar?
Yeah.
Is that the guy?
Because he had the hair drapes.
And it was him and I think Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was Jenny McCarthy's show.
Full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Full circle.
Which anytime people ask him about Jenny McCarthy, he's very polite. You can tell it's the same thing with
She's a lovely girl.
It's the same thing with like Stan Lee. Like, who's your favorite superhero? Oh, well, I love them all equally. No, he loves Spider-Man the most.
Yeah.
Chris Hardwick is very political in his responses, but
you have to be.
But the reason that he's on my list is because this is a guy who was not getting the opportunities that he was hoping for in his career. So he said, fuck it. I'm going to do my own thing and see how that goes. So he started the Nerdist podcast with his friends and had his comedian friends come on, and it eventually snowballed into the Nerdist empire. Now, like, they're owned by Lionsgate, you know, The Talking Dead, Talking Bad.
Which he's somebody out there right now is going, well, kind of like Podzilla, you guys are doing the same thing. And I would say, no, we're not. It was never our intent to be a huge multimedia company.
This isn't our way of, you know, quitting our jobs.
No, like, we're not trying to be famous. We just wanted to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really admire that. I wish there was something that I cared so much about that I could just throw all of my attention into it.
Yeah.
But I don't. So here
Scared
I am
to take that jump.
Working
yeah.
retail and service industry.
Food library.
The food library. So he's always such an upbeat guy too. Like he's sober. He's completely turned his life around. And it's, you know, he was in a very dark place, which is something I can definitely relate to. And now he has made himself better and is doing this thing that he loves. And I'm happy for him. And
yeah.
he's just a genuinely funny guy.
Yeah.
To the same effect, the next two people are, Austin Creed, better known as Xavier Woods.
Who we've met.
He came into the store, like, and even if he hadn't come in
he would still have been a lovely
man. I hadn't talked to him. It's so nice to see him having fun doing this thing that he wants to do. He has his YouTube channel, where he gets to play games.
Up, up, down, down.
Watch it. It's amazing. He does, you know, he gets to work for the company that he's always wanted to work for. He grew up loving it. Surprisingly, like, they're letting him do this thing that he wants to do. Like, it's not a...
They're helping him.
Yeah.
You know?
He's very clearly supported in what he's doing, which is a very pleasant surprise.
It's also strange to think of how long he's been in the business.
Yeah.
Because I remember Consequences Creed and TNA from years back.
Yeah.
Because Xavier's so young.
Yeah.
He still has the entire world ahead of him, and he's already done so much.
And the fact that he's getting to do this, like, it's very much a jealousy thing. But at the same time, like,
he wasn't such a nice guy.
He's such a nice person that it's like, it's hard to be jealous and petty about someone who clearly, like, is taking full advantage of everything that he has.
Yeah.
So he makes me happy. Same with Dan Avidan, who is better known as Daniel Sexbang from Game Grumps and Ninja Sex Party.
I feel so bad about that because I think it was Steven maybe that was so excited that he got Danny Sexbang's autograph.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who it was. So I was thinking, like, Danny Sexbang, who the hell is that? And I felt bad about it.
It's you don't need to know who these people are. Like, his voice is funny. His sense of humor is funny. He's, again, such a, and this might be weird for a lot of people who haven't actually met me if you listen to the show. Because I'm not a positive person in life.
No.
In general.
Not at all.
I think that's very clear. But so, like, these, like, Austin Creed, Dan, Chris Hardwick, even the Amazing Randy, like, they are such positive people that even though, especially in Amazing Randy's case, like, the amount of adversity and, you know, just garbage thrown his way, and, you know, same with them, like, anytime you're a content creator, you're going to have just terrible people tell you that you're doing a terrible job because they can, and
right.
the internet's there.
Right.
But like, just to stay so positive and be so fun and entertaining, and legitimately, like, I look forward to hearing the next Ninja Sex Party song or Starbomb, who he does with Aaron, who's the co-host of Game Grumps. Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes me happy.
That's what matters. That's what this is about.
Weird. Yes. And then my last one is Neil Gaiman. Just because he's my favorite author.
He's a great author.
Great author. Ocean at the End of the Lane, American Gods.
Which was set in Cairo, Illinois,
It did have a brief stint in Cairo, Illinois.
Which is where I'm from. Born in Cairo. Yeah.
It's not Cairo.
Despite the fact it's called Little Egypt. We've talked about that on the
show. Yeah, I want to go to the Old Madrid. Or Old Madrid. Where's Old Madrid?
Or Haytai?
Add it to my list. But yeah, Neil, Neverwhere, Ocean at the End of the Lane, American Gods.
Bob's going to be real happy with that answer. He loves Neil Gaiman.
That's,
yeah.
And
he has a lot of his books.
Yeah, and they're great. Good Omens is probably my favorite, though, that he also wrote with Terry Pratchett.
Another great author.
Another great sci-fi author.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, great storytelling. Stardust, the movie. I know people mostly only know the movie, and it's like, no, it's a book, and it's a really good book. But so those are my five.
That's a good five. I like those five. Allie, do you have five?
Yes. The first one I want to talk about is actually a small story I read today while I was doing my research of Chris and Anne Smith. Anna Smith. Anna Smith was actually, what they're doing is they're opening the first house for boys who were put in sex trafficking. They were.
Aaron Picaro liked that story.
Anna Smith is a survivor of sex trafficking, and they originally were going to open it for women, and then they found out about half of the victims are men. So there are no housing for men.
There's next to no support for men in sex crimes in general.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there.
And so I think what they're doing is great. And they're, in the story, you hear a lot about the community. They're starting it, not really supporting them, which is sad, but they're opening it. They're going to move forward with it. And I think that's a great story. Another is one of my favorite bands, and I know you like them, and you probably are surprised by this, is 21 Pilots.
What?
What?
Get out of here.
You like them?
Cut it out.
But just their music, if you, even from the beginning, listen to it, it's great. They started to basically reach out to people who felt like they were alone, like a lot of artists do, and they've gotten really big, and they keep writing amazing songs that help with that. And they've even done little side projects, like the lead singer had a video where he probably wrote it, I don't know, kind of this whole, I don't know, poem type thing, talking about how you should treat people on the internet, how you can either be negative
or positive. I saw that, you showed me that, yeah. On the line.
You're on the line. You can either be positive or negative.
Right.
And then in the end, he says, I want to be positive.
Right.
What are you going to choose? It's a great thing. You can find it on YouTube. It might be harder to find since I don't know what it's called, but it's
just look up
awesome.
21 Pilots online.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, here's a BuzzFeed list of 21 airline pilots.
Oh,
I actually think I remember is you can look up Tyler Joseph because he's the lead singer of the band. What's Your Story, I think, is actually what it's called. It's really great, and just how he speaks and his rhythm it keeps you interested. My other three are all organizations.
Okay.
All of them have to do with animals because I love animals.
Yes, you do.
I do. The first one I want to mention is the Rhino Rescue Project. This is an organization. You might have seen the images going around of elephants with pink tusks. That was supposed to be people are dying elephants' tusks pink so they don't get poached for their ivory. That's not real, but this organization does something similar where they're either putting a dye into their horns that much like on bank money, so if it gets stolen, you can tell, or they're contaminating it to where it doesn't hurt the animal, but it can hurt humans if it's taken. And it's just ways because so many rhinos are getting killed for their horns. Mm. And this is their way of making their horns unusable to humans so they can live.
Right.
Which I think is great because it's so sad that rhinos are being killed for their horns. Another one is the African Wildlife Foundation, which is kind of similar. They're protecting the animals, specifically in Africa, from being killed, like elephants for their ivory tusks and all that stuff. And then the third one is the turtle rescues that are in Hawaii for their green sea turtles, which are called honus in Hawaii. I couldn't find a specific foundation online, but I do know whenever my mom was in Hawaii, she got to see them release all the sea turtles that they had raised to where they're the size where if they were in the wild, they couldn't just be eaten and killed right away. because the Honu is very much endangered, and this is their way of trying to give them an extra chance of surviving past their hatchling size.
Once again, my picks seem so trivial compared to the ones you guys have, but you know what? I'm going to say them anyway, just real quick. My number one is the rise in popularity of paranormal and fringe science shows. I know, Asa, you're not, and I know you're looking, you're smiling already. And I don't mean, I don't mean the fact that.
How much is Huckleberry paying you to say this?
Yeah. No, hold on, hold on. I don't mean the fact that I believe what they say is legit.
I think he wants you to yell
at
more.
I'm not going to yell at this. I'm happy about it. It's happy time.
No, but he speaks so emphatically. He
Huckleberry don't need nobody to tell him how to raise a Yeti.
Amazing.
No, what I mean is just the popularity of it. Mm. Whereas, or someone like me who believes in the paranormal and wants to know more. That's the thing, is I don't just believe everything they say. I want to know more.
That was also something that I wanted to mention about the Amazing Randy, because we've mentioned like the organization that offers like the $1 million reward for concrete proof
yeah.
of paranormal and the psychic ability and things like that.
Yeah.
That's Amazing Randy's foundation.
Yes. Yes. And I believe he wants to find it.
Oh yeah.
You know, he wants to know.
Yeah, this isn't just like a publicity like being a D-bag dare. It's a no, please show me.
But the fact that 10, 15 years ago, me as somebody that I saw a ghost. I know I saw a ghost. I've seen UFOs. I know I've seen UFOs. I've seen things that I can't explain. And I've tried to. And I can't. So I want to know more about these things. But to say that then, especially, you were met with so much ridicule. And so much, are you an idiot? Why would you believe in these things? Whereas now, even though a lot of these shows are ridiculous, like Mountain Monsters, Ghost Adventures can get pretty grating. But the fact that these things are taken seriously, that some people out there, it will spark their interest in it, and you don't know. Someday they might find a Yeti. They might prove the existence of ghosts. They proved that the Earth was round. They proved all of these things that before seemed like they were such ridiculous concepts. And I think it's because it's becoming more common and more accepted for people to say, I believe in this, or I want to believe in this. So I'm really happy about that. I'm happy that it's no longer, it's like when you said you were a gamer. When you were a kid or a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And people would just go, oh my God, you're a loser. You live in your mom's basement. That's less prevalent now. And so is the ridicule against people that believe in things that aren't normal. And I'm happy about that. Number two, God, and I feel so trivial of old school Nintendo. If there's anything that makes me happy, it's Nintendo and Super Nintendo. If you give me any Nintendo game, basically, or Super Nintendo game, I will smile and get giddy.
What about, isn't it? Booger Man.
I don't smile about Booger Man. Nor will I like That's saying deep. The words.
I had it for Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo.
Lonnie's got it over in Jackson right now, and I want to buy it, but I don't because
you
of what
buy
it is.
It for your collection, but you don't.
You don't want to have it in your possession.
No, to say I have
it. You're going to need to just buy it for him, and then that way it's a gift.
And just like sneak it into there so one day he's like, where did this come from? I don't know how I feel.
I'm going to make a breakup joke, but I won't do that. Anyway, there's not many things that make me happier than that, because part of it's because they were really good games. Part of it is because it hits that part of my brain that remembers life as a child.
Right.
Before the problems, before wars, before discrimination, hatred, and racism, in my mind.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, I know you always make the old jokes.
No.
But dear Lord.
No, I speak purely
whenever
of
you're a kid, you don't realize.
Before you were aware of
before
all
I was
that.
Aware, before the innocence was taken,
yeah.
And you realize, I think there's a good quote from The Crow where he says, Top Dollar says, my daddy says, something like, you become a man the day you realize you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your innocence when you realize all these terrible things happen. So right. Nintendo reminds me of a time where you could just love life.
Yeah.
You know? Number three, Conan O'Brien. Because Conan O'Brien is the last of that old school late night host. David Letterman's gone now. He retired. And even though I think Stephen Colbert does a wonderful job, I don't even like Jimmy Kimmel, but he does a pretty good job as well. I don't like Jimmy Fallon. Let's leave it at that. And Seth Meyers, I don't like him as a talk show host, but I love his segments.
Yeah.
And I think he's brilliant. Like, he's another, like John Oliver, that through comedy makes real statements.
And comedy is a very useful tool.
It's a powerful tool
like
throughout
it's
history.
Yeah.
But Conan O'Brien is just that old school. I mean, I can watch his shows and laugh, and he just makes me feel like I used to feel when I would stay up late, you know, to watch Letterman I was going to say Leno, but I didn't. Basically Letterman.
Yeah.
Or Conan for the late show.
Right.
So I love Conan O'Brien. Number four, horror movies.
Yes.
It's like Nintendo. Horror movies make me happy. There's something about seeing monsters. And there's a great movie that not a lot of people appreciate called Digging Up the Marrow.
Oh, I like that movie.
I love that movie because it's about a horror, a legitimate horror director. Like, it's one of those is-it-real type things who loves monsters. And it's half a actual horror film, half a love letter to just horror movies in general and monsters and what our mind can imagine and create. And that's what horror movies are to me. I would rather see a horror movie than any other movie just because it's something that generally can't happen in real life. Mm-hmm. And it makes me creative. It makes me think, well, maybe there's more out there than this awful existence.
I have
know.
So many questions for you, but it's going to end up like maybe I think that'll be next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Next
we'll
Tuesday.
We'll do a part two?
Yeah.
Okay. And the last thing.
Well,
and,
a horror movie part two.
I'd love to do straight horror movies. We have to talk to Tanner, though, because he might want in on that. The last thing, and this is sappy. I apologize in advance for this. My mother. If I can think of things that I love more than anything, she's there. Because I my life has not been the same since she left. And it never will be. And it's for reasons like that, that when you talk about John Edwards and people like that, that I get so angry. Because she's not coming back, and there is no talking to her. So people that exploit that just really hurt. Like, it doesn't even just make me mad. It hurts. But she was a wonderful person, and I don't think I'll ever know.
I'm mad at you because you said your list was going to be trivial.
Yeah,
for
and
us.
I'm,
and now you're going to make us cry.
Everyone's crying right now.
Well, I'm good. I'm all right. But yeah, that's the last one. Anyway, let's read some audience ones. You got one there you can read?
Yes. Give me, I can find it because through the magic of the internet and, oh Lord, where is it? Okay, here we go. John C. Henson.
Yes, good man. Love him.
Customers are the worst human beings. So, customers.
But you need them.
Yeah.
It's the old clerk's line. This job would be great if it wasn't for the customers.
Fucking customers.
Yep.
You know who agreed with that? Aaron Picard. I'll read this one. Aaron Picard, the MVP of the late night show, says, I hate bad customer service, like what I got at Campus Auto at the corner of Independence and West End Boulevard. So that's Jackson Tire Center now and, Campus Auto that will never put money in our show.
They're not going to be advertising with us anytime soon.
I took my 89 Olds there for an inspection and tune-up, and it was stolen from their shop.
What?
I actually hadn't read any of these because I turned off the notifications.
I haven't read any of these either.
It was recovered 3 weeks later, found ditched on I-55. Then Campus Auto tried to charge me for their service when it was their fault it was stolen. What? When they asked me why I had not paid, I asked why did they let my car get stolen and that they were here for my lawyer. I also hate lame graphic design and lead guitarists who face their gear when they solo. Your amp won't buy you merchandise. Speaking of guitarists,
right?
Next on the list is J.R. Davis. What did J.R. say?
I can't stand when people refuse to accept that they're incorrect. I enjoy a good debate, and I'm usually confident in how correct I am, but I'm always sure to acknowledge and accept when I'm proven wrong.
Humility. Important
yes.
is what
yes,
it is.
Because, and I will agree with that, because, yes. And I know that is a fault of mine. Like, I will kind of, like, you know, there's those debate shows like Crossfire that eventually got canceled. And, you know, she even shows like ours. It's like, we're just entrenching ourselves in our own beliefs.
Yeah.
Like, I like to think that if someone gives me a well thought out, rational argument versus, you know, just being screamed at, I know I'm saying this 20, 30 minutes after just screaming my point
yeah,
of view.
Yeah, but we're very good debaters.
Yeah.
I like to think because we like to hear things and we like to discuss it.
Yeah.
We just all usually happen to agree with each other.
He had a follow up with, also, I don't like people that believe that everyone has to belong to one character archetype.
It's okay.
One of those. Leonardo DiCaprio. As an ex-person belongs to this stereotypical high school clique because of their clothes, how they carry themselves, or one of their interests. Drawing lines is dumb.
I want to point out that at one show I said preface instead of preface.
Yeah.
But I will stand by the lowest common denominator. I have seen many people use that line.
Hey, look, Aaron Picard has another one.
Oh, what'd he say?
The English language needs a word for ironic hypocrisy. I had a former friend who said he prized loyalty and complained about how it was hard to find, yet he messed around on his wife.
I bet he was right-wing conservatives. Conservatives.
What is happening?
Conservatives.
Anyway.
You've gone too long.
Drew Pennon says, I hate kids. Does that count? Someone liked it. For sure. Aaron Powell, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, one of our biggest fans over there, says, I don't like people who go on big, polarizing military rants and they've never been in. Also, ignorant people who have strong opinions about things they don't know anything about in general gets on my nerves. Also, I hate when my socks get wet. I love the flow of that. Mimi said, yes, this. But she didn't say which one. So
you just assume all of it?
Mimi agrees with something. All right, Lindsay already wrote me and said, I apologize for writing a book. So I'm just going to read this very quickly as best I can. Lindsay Wolfgang from the Thursday show and Nerd Up says, I'm going to keep it generic and I'm going to read it as fast as possible. I'm going to keep it generic since the people I truly loathe require a backstory that if you don't have time for, I will say there is a short list of names that just rub me the wrong way, even if it doesn't belong to those exact people. And Emily is the name at the top of that list. Not the Emily you know.
Well,
in the long run, though, I just can't stand ignorant people. Those yahoos either still try to reinforce hate and stereotypes, or even worse, the people who just prove why those same stereotypes were made to begin with because they still insist on acting that way. You'll find it everywhere you go in public. There's no avoiding it, and it really makes me wish that something major would wipe out a large portion of the populace and let us start over. Trying to educate the new generation is obviously not working. I said that earlier. We should wipe out humanity. Magneto was right. As for faith in humanity, I have none. Humans are rotten, some more than others. God, no wonder we get along so well. Yes, there are good people out there, but not enough. Too many good doors to doers. I almost said good doors. All right, let's stop reading fast.
There are good doors.
There are good doors. They still want to profit off of it, be it the recognition or personal gain. I'm very jaded to humanity and will probably stay that way until something major changes. We're greedy by nature. No humanity as a whole can piss off. I'll keep my happiness and enjoyment with a small group of people that I care about, and for the most part, I'm sure they care about me some. Those who mean the most know who they are, and I know they care just as much, if not more. I'll take my army of stuffed animals over people any day. They don't cause problems. I disagree, because I remember when that giant wall of stuffed animals collapsed out of the net, and we spent hours putting them back together. Thanks, Lindsay. Mimi followed up with a statement saying, I hate it when I put on a fresh pair of socks and then step into a puddle, likely from a dropped ice cube. you want to do Chelsea? Bad words. Bad choice of words.
I hate idiots and love positive people. Also can't stand it when someone tells me I need to have more than one kid to be a real mom. I love people that are nice. Nice people are the best.
Nice people are the best. Also sexy people. I like them. Mimi Shepherd does say, why we gotta hate on kids? I think that was to Drew. It's usually the people that have none or the ones that still act like children that usually despise them. You don't know what it's like until you become a parent. Oh, God. I think she's going to go off on a rant. I absolutely hate it when people say they hate kids. Don't want to have kids? That's fine. But some people are happy to have them in their lives. Stop judging people who have kids because you have no clue what they've gone through or what they're going through each day. Also, I was going to rant about this before. Drew made a statement. I feel like this is going to be a really bitchy chat session, but you did ask what makes my blood boil. Lol.
I don't think she was laughing out loud.
I don't think she was laughing at all. And last, Brian D. Boltz, who was in here earlier and hung out with us, just had surgery. Good luck to you on your recovery. I just like people who are super opinionated, so much so they go out of their way to attack others or make it their mission to try and make what they think invalid. To clarify, these are things that are opinions and not proven or disproven with facts. Like aliens.
This show.
All right, well, guys, we went an hour and a half.
Yay!
Whee!
Still not the longest show we've ever done. That was the very first episode. But we do want to thank you guys if you're still listening, or if you skipped ahead and missed most of our arguments. Thank you, anyway.
If you got sick of hearing me yell about vaccines for 20 minutes.
I know someone who did.
Animals.
And me talking about my mother. Shame on you. Thank you guys for listening to this show. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Maybe Ace's Last.
Could be.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. We got some big things. Then we're going to be back on Thursday with something, and then sports show, and then Nerd Up again. We'll do it all over again next week. Thank you guys for listening. For Allie, for Asa, want to wish you guys a good night, and let us know, you know, what makes you angry. And if it's us that makes you angry, well, you know.
There are some good doors.
Skateboards.